It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Wisconsin Congresswoman Gwen Moore is introducing two bills to bulk up the nation's child welfare system. Representative Moore was scheduled to talk to with us right now. She had to cancel for now. We're going to work on finding a new time to speak with her.
Right now, what do wood violets, great white trilliums, and common sneezewood have in common?
They are all wildflowers you can find in Wisconsin. There are over 1,000 species of wildflowers around the state. You can catch a lot more than you think in your own backyard.
Andrea Debink went through the State Master Naturalist training, and she joins us with advice on flower finding and how you can enjoy the benefits of nature, whether you're in the city, the suburbs, or the countryside.
Andrea is an author, editor, and conservation volunteer. Her most recent books are Flower Finding, Delight in the Splendor of Wild Blooms, and Thrive Where You're Planted, a guided journal to help you connect with the natural wonders in your neighborhood. Before we get into specific flowers and things like that, I want to talk about this concept you use, and I love it, a slow botany, kind of really taking the time to appreciate the plant world around us. What do you mean by slow botany?
Yeah, slow botany is a phrase that I use in the book. And to be honest, I don't know if it's been used somewhere else. Someone else probably invented it, but it was really inspired by, you know, the idea of slow food and that sort of thing. To just describe a slower, more tactile and mindful approach to identifying plants in the wild. And I think, you know, this is in contrast to a way of plant identification that's become so popular today with everyone having a cell phone in their pocket. You know, a lot of people use apps or use Google to just kind of snap a picture of a plant they see and identify it. And I mean, to be honest, I certainly do that too. There's times when that's really convenient and I just need to know something quickly. But at the same time, I've found that if I'm out hiking and I'm noticing the plants all around me, that can be something that actually takes me out of the moment rather than connecting me to what I'm doing. And not only that, but when you take a photo of something, it's kind of your phone that's doing the work to identify it for you, and you're missing out on all of those opportunities to, you know, identify that plant in a more tactile way. So one experience that I actually talk about in the book is when I was out hiking on a trail over at Cross Plains State Park. And a fellow hiker came by, saw that I was trying to identify some plants, and started teaching me about wild bergamot and had me touch the plant and smell it and, you know, just investigate it in other ways using my other senses. And what's interesting to me is I've never forgotten what that plant is or how it feels or how it smells, because I just really engaged with it in a slower way. I don't remember a lot of the plants that I've just taken a photo of and used the Leaf Snap app for, you know. So just, I think when people are able to take the time to learn about plants in a slower way, I think it can actually deepen your knowledge and help you be more connected.
And yeah, one of your most recent books is about flower finding in particular. What is flower finding? Do you go out with a list in mind? I want to spot these flowers, or do you see what's out there and try to figure out what they are? What's your approach to finding cool flowers, especially wildflowers here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, you know, I've never really gone out with any sort of wish list or expectation. It's really more just accumulating my knowledge about the plants that are around us here, especially in the Madison area where I live, because there are just so many. And I feel like every, you know, season I'm learning, well, not winter, obviously, but every growing season, I'm learning more plant species. And I kind of add it to like my ongoing file of plants that I now know, but I definitely, I'm constantly surprised at what I see. Actually, just this spring, I discovered a new plant that I had never seen before in all my years of hiking in the woods around here. There is a plant called the celandine poppy, which is also known as the wood poppy, growing pretty close to where I live now. And I had never seen this plant before. I don't know if it's because of the timing or it's because it's somewhat rare, but this is a native poppy that grows in the woods. And until, you know, this spring, I never knew it existed. So I feel like every time I go out, I'm discovering new plants that I'd never seen before.
I'm wondering if you could help somebody like me. I'm very bad at distinguishing, you know, one plant from another. If I were to want to go out and really appreciate wildflowers, how could I get started? How could I mean, do I need to have that magical expert with me who can talk me through everything?
No, though that does help. I mean, I love it when I have someone with me who can just tell me about what I'm seeing. But really where I started carrying a wildflower field guide with me when I would go out hiking or even just, you know, to the park near my house. There's a great series of field guides written by a naturalist named Stan Tequila. You might be familiar with him. He's written probably 200 books. And a lot of the books he's written are state-specific field guides. So he wrote a little book called The Wildflowers of Wisconsin. And it's a small book, really easy to use. All the wildflowers in the book are divided by color. So it's a really easy way to start narrowing down what it is you're looking at. Obviously, you know, there are a lot of yellow wildflowers in Wisconsin, but you can zero in on that chapter and then start looking more specifically and narrow down. And I find that really helps. There's a lot of, there's full color photographs in the book. So you can compare what you're seeing in real life to the photo in the book. So that's where I started. And that's where I'd recommend other people would start too, because initially I couldn't tell one plant from the other either. It's been a learning process. It takes time.
What are some of your favorite spots to go flower finding?
Well, I really love the different prairies that we have around the Madison area. You can find prairie in so many different places, even if it's just really small. I, until quite recently, lived in an apartment on the west side of Madison, and nearby at a city park, there was this very small prairie, but every August, you know, by the end of summer, it would just be full of wildflowers. And these are all, you know, native species. There'd be milkweed, there'd be common sunflower, compass plant. And that's where I actually learned a lot of these prairie plants, was just in this tiny prairie in this city park. So I feel like, you know, wherever you are, if you have land that you live on, or if you live near a city park, county park, if you just go out to those places, there's plants there. And if you take, you know, one of these guides along with you, you can start learning about them. But I guess another thing I should mention is that wildflowers in particular like to live in what are known as disturbed areas. So it's not just pretty places like parks that they grow, but you can also find them alongside the road, or, you know, on a median, or in a parking lot. So, I mean, plants are really everywhere. So once you start seeing them, you're going to realize that.
We're talking about flower finding and how to enjoy nature wherever you are with Andrea Debink. She's an author, a conservation volunteer. Her latest books are Flower Finding and Thrive Where You're Planted. And I want to pick up on that book, Thrive Where You're Planted, Andrea. And I love this idea that we might think, well, I want to see nature. I want to see cool plants. Therefore, I must go to a wildland, a park, something like that. You really make the case that we can find these things in cities and suburbs. Can you talk about why that's so important to you?
Yes, definitely. I think part of the reason it became important to me initially is because I grew up in the suburbs. I grew up in the northern suburbs of Minneapolis, and again, lived in a place similar to where I live now, just a suburban neighborhood. Not a lot of wild places near where I lived, other than like city parks or county parks. And as I got older, I realized that I was really developing this mentality that to really experience nature, I had to go, you know, to a national park or to the wilderness. And it seemed that a lot of people around me had that same mentality as well, that nature was somewhere that you would visit or, you know, go to on vacation. And really, my mindset began to change when I was living on the west side of Madison several years ago in an apartment, and didn't have a lot of access to nature in that particular place, other than a city park that was next to our apartment building. And it was living in that environment that I just realized how pervasive nature is in the city, but you just have to be willing to seek it out and learn about it and meet it where it is. And it was really around that time that I started writing more about nature for my career as well, and just became more fascinated with the animals, the plants, and the different habitats that are coexisting with us in cities.
I'm sometimes tempted to want to go to a new park, whether it's a city park or state park or whatever. And that's cool. You get to see new places and things. Can you talk about the value of going to the same place again and again and kind of watching it change and grow over the seasons?
Yes. And this is something I can definitely speak to from experience. That city park that I mentioned that was next to my apartment, it was really that park that taught me the value of doing that and returning to the same place over and over. I mean, I probably visited that park every day or every other day throughout the year, throughout the seasons. And I feel like it really helps you to know a particular place. You become aware of, you know, like I said earlier, the plants that are growing there, but also the wildlife. I started keeping track of the plants and animal species that I saw in that park. And I want to say there was around 40 animal species that I ended up counting over the course of a year. And this was a very small park. I mean, it had a little wetlands and a little prairie and a little woods, had a tiny bit of everything. So it was kind of perfect because it was a place that animals would like to be. But I think if you were just walk through that park once, you would never realize how much biological diversity there would be in a place like that. And I think that's a real benefit to just continuing to go back to the same place.
Andrea, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Andrea Debink is a conservation volunteer, author of the book Thrive Where You're Planted.
Speaking of nature watching, Rob, you're always talking about the live webcam in Alaska, tilting the screen toward me, where you can watch the brown bears at a national park there. But do we have any good live nature web cameras here in Wisconsin?
I've done some poking around online. There are at least a couple active.
Okay, so what have you found?
There's one in Bryce Prairie that's just north of La Crosse on the Mississippi River. It's called the Mississippi River Flyway Cam.
Have you seen any birds on it?
Not yet, but when I first checked in, and actually right now, the camera zoomed in on a bunch of turtles on logs in the river, which I think is super cool. The other one I found live was the energy company MG&E's Peregrine Falcon Cam on their facility in Madison. It's a view of a nest overlooking a lake.
So any peregrine falcons there?
Not when I look. There are lots and lots of feathers. So that suggests to me that birds are there at least sometimes.
There's a sign. Absolutely. And we'd love to hear from you. If Rob missed any live nature cameras here in the state, email us, wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org. Or call or text at 888-642-0232.
And we'll put up some links at wpr.org.